It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica's over there dancing behind the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Chasta Music. How are you this morning?
I'm great this morning. It's good to be here.
I'm glad that you can take time out of your busy day to come join us.
Absolutely. It's always a joy.
If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. If you'd like a entry onto our August book blessing wheel, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. We finally picked out a book. It's called It by Craig Groeschel. And it looks really interesting. I'm thinking about taking one of them. We've got a couple of copies down there. Thinking about taking one home and reading it. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church in Elk City. Think I covered it all? Did I get it all? No, I was thinking that this morning, too. I think that clock's messing with me.
Yeah,
I didn't even look at it, but I was thinking Thursday. Okay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Absolutely. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it is to come and minister your word today. Lord, we're thankful for the day that you've blessed us with. So grateful for this program. So thankful for all the ministers, ministries that share and spread the good news and the gospel to everyone. Lord, we ask today that you would just open eyes, open ears and minds, Lord, just to receive what you have for them today. Pray that your word would go forth, that it would plant seeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Reality of Heaven.
Yes, this is a message that the Lord laid upon my heart, and I actually shared it this last Sunday morning, and when just kind of going back and what to share today, and I think this is just a word and a message that everyone needs to hear, and something to, you know, to really think about and to grab a hold of. Mm-hmm. And so I think this will be a powerful word today. My beginning scripture is going to be in Revelation chapter number 21. Verses 1 through 8, and I love the book of Revelations. I love, you know, studying the end times and, you know, heaven, and try to get a glimpse of what it's going to be like, but it's impossible to even mm-hmm. imagine what it's going to be like. And so that's kind of where I'm going to start this morning. I'll just begin by reading this, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And this is where a lot of people stop reading. This is several, many times this is referenced in funeral services, memorial services, and they always stop at verse number 7, but I want to read verse number 8 today also. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so when we're talking about heaven, we also got to understand and realize that there's a reality in a place called hell, a place that was designed, made, and created for the enemy himself and his angels. But the way we live our life and the choices that we make will determine what destination we make it to. And so we're talking about truth. We're talking about reality today. We're talking about what the Bible says, not what the world says, mm-hmm. not what people say it is, what the Word of God says, what John is referring to here in Revelations, and then what Jesus Christ also tells us throughout the Bible and through the Gospels of a reality of our future of an eternity. When we're talking about reality, that's what it is. It's real life. It's something that you can touch. It's something that you can feel. It's a physical existence. It's something that you can put your hands on. It's something that you can see with a natural eye. And this is exactly what heaven is going to be like for all believers that believe and make him Lord of their life, make the reservations been covered in the blood of Jesus. One of these days, our blessed hope is that we're going to be united with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be able to see the glory with our own physical eyes. Everything that John is describing here concerning heaven, concerning eternity, we're going to be able to see with our own eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. But what we got to understand is there's many today. There's many in the world, there's many teachings, there's many things that that people have made a concept in their mind and in their heart of heaven just being a better place than what's here on earth. They've made it, they just kind of have like a general idea of what heaven may be like. There's some that have made heaven no more than just a fantasy type place. Mm-hmm. And there's a teaching and all now. I mean, we're living right here in the brink of the last days because there's teachings now where they're saying, even in many congregations, I'm just going to speak truth today, that says there's many ways to heaven, there's mm-hmm. many ways to eternity, there's many ways to glory. But again, the word of God tells us that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We gotta realize the true reality of heaven is that Jesus himself has gone to prepare a place for us. And so can you just imagine what God is preparing for us right now? I shared that with the church. I said, just imagine what this very moment right now, what God is preparing and creating for you. And guess what? When it's all done and it's all complete, and he's finished it, guess what? He's going to come back for you. Mm-hmm. And that's our blessed hope. He's going to come back for us. There's, you know, as believers, we gotta know that there's greater hope on the other side. There's greater hope beyond this life, something that we can't even imagine. Again, Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. And so that's some reality of what heaven really is. The sad reality is there's today many people not even giving a thought of a future, not even giving a thought of eternity mm-hmm. or of heaven. Many times, and it's so easy to do that you can get caught up in the normal day-to-day things, just get caught up in the normal culture of today. And it's just a trick of the enemy that blinds your thinking and blinds your thought process, because what's sad is many people cannot operate, they cannot function, and they can't get past the calendar. They can't get past the full schedules of the day. The things they got to take care of. You got home. You got work. Mm-hmm. You got children. You got family. You got church. You know, if you're not careful, you know, you can do all the religious things and then miss the relationship.
Yes.
And so we've got to continue to say, you know what, these things are important. There's things that I got to do, but I've got to continue to take time and just think about future. Think about eternity. Think about what God has for us. And I just put this, you know, if we're not careful, we can get all the way to the end of our life. And many times there's people that don't think about heaven, their future, the eternity. The only time they think about it is when they get really, really sick or ill, mm-hmm. and they're on their deathbed. And then they're like, oh man, now I got to think about future. Now I got to think about eternity and think about heaven. And, you know, if the Lord gives you that time, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But it could be instantaneously. We might not have that moment. Mm-hmm. We might not have that minute. I look at it this way. I just say this. It's like playing Russian roulette with your life. You know, just praying and hoping that you have those final minutes to make things right before the end of your life. But I put this. I put laying on your deathbed is not the time to be thinking about where you will spend eternity, but it should be the very moment that we rejoice because the reservation has already been made mm-hmm. with the Lord. And so if you live your life according to the Word and you have a mindset, a continual mindset of future, of heaven, of eternity, then at that moment you can say, you know what? I should be shouting. I should be rejoicing. I should be singing because my redemption is drawing nigh. Mm-hmm. I'm moments away from meeting my Maker. I'm just seconds away from entering into glory. And that's the expectation that we should have as believers. And so, you know, the truth is what we're doing with our life right now, the choices that we're making today, this very moment, you had a choice to listen to this program today. You're going to have a choice to click on the program and listen for a few moments. That's a choice that you're making. Mm-hmm. It's those choices. It's those decisions. It's the way that we live our life. That is what's going to determine our eternity. That's what's going to determine our future. And so there may be some that would disagree with some of that and all, but everything can be backed up through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. If you question anything, if you have a doubt about anything, go back and look through the Word of God. It will reveal everything. It will show you all truth. This Word is the truth. Very plainly, it tells us heaven and earth is going to pass away. Everything that we know in existence is going to pass away. It's going to be gone. It's going to be done with, except one thing, and that's going to be the Word of God. That's what we're holding right here and right today. And so we don't have to go through textbooks. We don't have to go through the top bestsellers to see if we're speaking truth and all. If I could send out just a warning today to everyone, is get the Word of God out. Get it into your life. Get it into your hands. Read it. Get it into your spirit. Know all truth. Amen. We can know all truth. The Holy Spirit, this is just extra, but I just feel like just sharing this, that someone needs to hear it today. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will never be contradicted. The Holy Spirit will always back up the Word. The Word will always back up the Holy Spirit, will always back up what Jesus desires to do in and through our life. But there's many misconceptions. There's many misconceptions concerning eternity, many misconceptions concerning heaven, concerning all these things. And I wish I had enough time to share about 100 of these things with you. but I want to share the top two on the list. And I know it, you know, you got to, I just want to try to lay a foundation this morning before we get to the good stuff, because we're going to get to some good stuff, but there's got to be a foundation of truth that's laid today. Otherwise, we're just going to be leading ourselves away. And so I want to lay a truth foundation today. One of the misconceptions many times people will have is this: every single person in this world and in this life, no matter what they do, no matter how they live their life, no matter what they say, whether they know Jesus, don't know Jesus, it does not matter. As soon as they leave this life, as soon as they die, as soon as they pass away, they're going to make it to heaven. They're going to make it to a glorious place. They're going to make it into eternity. But I want to tell you that is just a lie from the pit of hell. That's just a lie today. That is not Christianity. That is universalism. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's spreading in this world today. That's exactly the teaching. There's many people that believe this wholeheartedly. They're preaching it from universalist churches, congregations, leading people away. Those ministers, those people are going to have to give an account for what they're doing, for what they're saying. It says, you know, no matter what they do, no matter what they've done, they can make it to heaven. They can make it to eternity. But the Bible says, as we said, there's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ himself. You've got to be covered with the blood. You've got to be born again. There's another theology belief out there that takes it even further than universalism, and it's the word origin, O-R-I-G-E-N. And they believe the exact same thing as the universalists, but they take it even further. They don't only believe that everybody is going to make it to heaven at the end, no matter how they live their life, but they also believe that even Satan himself is going to make it back to heaven into the glorious kingdom of God once again. And it's just misleading. It's a false doctrine. You know, we've got to wake up. We've got to open up our eyes. This is a wake-up call to every person, whether believers, whoever. This is for every single person. We've got to wake up, open our eyes, open our thinking, and say, this is not just some thought-up thing, but that's right here. That's even right here in Elk City. This type of thinking, these types of things is right here even where we live, but it's nothing but a false teaching and a false doctrine. And I say it's this. I say it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's a lying spirit that says, and this is what it is. This is how it's all summed up. You don't have to give up anything. You can live the way you want to. You can go where you want to. There's some, I don't know if I should say this on the air or not, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. You can live the way you want to Monday through Friday as long as you sit on the pew on Sunday morning and give your tithes. But it's just a spirit that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be on guard. We've got to guard ourselves, guard our hearts. We're talking about reality today. Everything's going to be okay. It's not going to affect your future, not going to affect your eternity. But the reality is this: the word of God says this, heaven and earth, it's going to pass away. Word's going to remain. And these days are going to be a reality within our heart and within our life. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter number 7, just wanted to read a few verses here in Matthew chapter number 7. Verse number 20 through 23. This is the red letters, Jesus himself speaking. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. How is he going to know us? We're not going to be a stranger. As we were talking earlier, he's going to know our name. Mm-hmm. He knows every hair on our head. He's going to know us by the fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Listen to verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We do not want to fall into that trap.
The scariest verse in the Bible.
It is, in lawlessness. And so it's very... straightforward here. So basically what it's telling us is we can do all these things right, but if it's not backed up with a true relationship, mm-hmm. a true foundation on Jesus Christ himself, we're not going to make it. He would rather us have that true relationship, have a purity within our life, be covered with the blood, have that one-on-one, then do all these great things. You know, gifts are a powerful thing. Gifts are very useful today. But what's more important, gifts or the relationship? We can be doing all the gifts. We can be doing all these things and miss the entire thing, miss exactly what Jesus is doing. And so I say, Lord, you know, I believe in the gifts. I want to operate in the gifts. I receive the gifts. I've seen them in operation. I know they work. But, Lord, in the process, I don't want to miss what you're doing in my life. I don't want to miss that moment. I don't want to miss that relationship. And so Galatians, I'll share another verse here. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. It tells us, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not my words. That's straight from the Word of God. It's straight from the Word of God. So all these things, all these scriptures that we just read from in Matthew, in Revelations 1 through verse number 8, Galatians 5:21, that settles, that backs up everything. And so, you know, whether we say we agree with it or not, everything's backed up by the Word. You know, Jesus has settled it. He settled it on the cross for us. When he died on the cross, he settled it. He settled that so that we can have eternal life, so that we could be saved. Second misconception sometimes that we have of reality of our future and of heaven and eternity is just being a good person. If I am just a good person and do good deeds throughout my life, then I'm going to make it at the very end. But our good works and riches and all these things, the Bible says it's nothing but dirty rags compared to him and what he has for us. And so we can't just go off of that. I just put this in my notes down here, is it takes 100% surrender of all of our life to make it to the end. And so we're not going to make it on 10%. We're not going to make it on 50, 60. We're not even going to make it on 99.9%. It's got to be 100%. It's all or it's nothing. In Luke chapter number 18, the parable of the young rich ruler, he knew this all too well. He did everything. He gave everything to the Lord. This passage of scripture in Luke 18 even tells us that even from his youth, he kept all the commandments. He did all these great things. And then he went to the Lord and said, Lord, what is it going to take? You know, what is it going to take for me to have eternal life? What's it going to take for me to make it? And this is what Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 22. He said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Have you ever thought about this? Imagine how much more that the Lord would have given to this young rich ruler than what he already had. He saw his earthly treasure, but God already had a greater treasure for him, but yet he couldn't give it up. And so I just say this, you know, don't allow all these things in your life to control you, where you think, you know what, I have more than what God's able to give to me. Because we can't even imagine what God is able to give back to us. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He's created everything. Mm-hmm. And I want to tap into some of that. It's like drilling for oil. Amen. Drill into the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're going to hit some treasures. You're going to hit some riches. You're going to hit some blessings. So that's a little extra for somebody out there today. Verse 23, it tells us that when he heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. And Jesus saw this, and he tells us in verse 24 of Luke 18, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so no matter our possessions, no matter what we have, It's always greater in the hand of God. So take everything that you have, all your riches, all that you think is important, put it into the hand of God and see the increase. It will change your life. It will change your thinking. It will change everything about you. It'll change your focus, and you'll be rolling over in blessings that you can't even imagine. And I know that there's several even watching today that can be a testimony of the riches of God. When we get to the end of our life and we see Jesus, I don't think we're going to say, you know what, I wish I would have held on to all this other stuff.
Right.
We're going to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I gave it up. Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to be able to take anything with us. Seen a few people try it. Seen a few people try it, but it's never worked.
Right.
Yeah, everything's going to be left here. And then very quickly before we get into the second half, and then we'll pray for the needs and all today. This is our hope today, and this is a reality, is that we can know that we're saved. We can know that we have the future. We can know that we have eternal life. Romans 10 and 9, love this verses here, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It didn't say you might be saved. It didn't say you'll partially be saved. You will be saved. Verse number 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I always say this, if I ever minister at a funeral, memorial service, anything like that, always say this when I talk about heaven, when I talk about eternity, is heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. When we're imagining what heaven is going to be like, imagine this. Heaven is a perfect place. We can't even imagine what perfect is. Nothing in this life is perfect. We've never experienced perfect. There's only one that was perfect. Heaven is a perfect place created by a perfect Savior. So the only way that our eternity can be perfect, heaven's going to be perfect, is it had to be created and made by somebody perfect. Mm-hmm. Who's that? Jesus. He's the only one. No blemishes, no faults. He even went to the cross and died perfect. They couldn't find any fault in him, but yet they still crucified. But that had to all unfold and take place so that we could experience a perfect eternity, a perfect future. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought. And so I know I've done a lot of talking this first half. I'll let y'all butt in at any time, and we can take a break with prayer requests and anything else.